Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, the CEO for the Classical Academies, and it's exciting to be having another podcast conversation. Today with us is Dr. Stacy Perez, and our topic today is things you may not want, but you need to discuss with your teenager. Interesting. So, Dr. Perez, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, this is my 17th year with the Classical Academies.
Wow. That flew by.
Yeah. Started 19, 20 years ago with my boys. Brought them in second and third grade, and I was a parking lot mom that said, I'm going to work here someday.
Oh, I love that.
And I started at Coastal. Just when I finished my teaching credential, I started at Coastal teaching first grade and then eighth grade, and then went to Vista, taught some third grade in middle school. And then 10 years ago, we started Classical Academy Online, which is now the Personalized Learning Campus.
Beautiful. Well, so the teenage years are really challenging physically, mentally, and socially. So what are some of the common challenges that are evident in our adolescents today?
Well, I think some things that have never changed. Mm-hmm. The eye rolls, the slamming the door, the so much going on in their brain and in their body. There's so much we don't see that they're struggling through that development. And so I think those things, technology hasn't taken those away. There's still the eye rolls. There's the turning away, trying to get that self-control of their own being.
And mom, you don't understand me anyway.
Exactly. And the challenges of that, the talking back. You know, that teaching and learning how to communicate, how to sit and listen is definitely a skill. And a lot of that is learned behavior. If we're interrupting them or we're not giving them those choices where they can make good and bad decisions, because they're equally important.
Well, and it comes down to modeling as well. What's happening around the dinner table? What's happening in the house that the children are exposed to? Is this how mom and dad treat each other? Are these common discussions or common, you know, disruptive things that are going on that they're picking up on, that they're just modeling in their teenage years as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Are they even eating dinner at the dinner table?
Is
the television on? Are there distractions? Are there phones in their face? When do we just sit down and have that time to talk about what happened today? What were the challenges? And you're right, the modeling is huge. Like, what are mom and dad doing?
What are we doing intentionally every day
with
our children, especially in their adolescence years, for sure? So as teens struggle for independence and control, many changes are happening. So what are some of the issues that may be involved with adolescents during these years?
I think technology has just skyrocketed, and it's an explosion. When COVID happened, I thought it would be technology first. Instead, it pushed us more into that world of technology to find out there's some benefits, but there's a lot of negative things that teens are seeing. If they're not seeing it here in our household, they're seeing it on their computer, on their phone, pop-ups, the way people talk to each other through text messages.
Don't talk to each other.
Exactly. It's really easy to be silent and not have those conversations. So the biggest challenge, I think, is technology. Like I said, for good or for bad, we need to learn how to use it, how to be kind, and the constant reminders of how do we treat each other in situations and not become isolated.
Well, and you make a good point with the whole, you can hide behind technology. You can be somebody that you're not. You can make comments that are anonymous. You can say things that you would never say to someone in their face. And that's why those soft skills are so important. I mean, I hear the term soft skills, but it's really, for me, I think they're just important skills. How do you make eye contact? How do you shake someone's hand? How do you present yourself? How do you have a conversation with someone? You know, and I know for my children, when I would ask them to make a phone call, oh my goodness, I actually have to interact with someone. Yes, we want you to interact with someone. We want, you know, you need to hear their voice. You need to respond. And how that really could create huge anxiety for some kids.
Yeah, I hear the new norm is text your child before you call them. They need a warning that we're going to have this conversation.
Oh, my word.
I'm the first to pick up the phone. I'd rather just have the conversation. And yeah, that's anxiety ridden for me.
Sure.
I don't know what the reaction from the other person's going to be, but 99% of the time it's something positive or something came out of it.
Right.
You know, otherwise they just hung up. But I'm not going to text my children to have a conversation with them, because we should always be having those conversations and modeling that.
Well, and I think about this, our daughter, our oldest daughter came over to dinner the other night and she actually knocked on the door and I'm like, that's really odd. And then she knocked again and I opened the front door and she's like, I just wanted to know if you guys were home. And I'm like, I was expecting you. You're not supposed to knock on your parents' door. You come in. This is family. Come on in here. So just some of the uniquenesses of what our kids do. That's really, really interesting. So what has really stood the test of time in regards to development or even reactions or actions when it comes to your adolescence?
Oh, we know the frontal lobe is not developed until the late 20s.
Right.
Like, that's not changing.
Right.
Current trends aren't making that different of a child that's being potty trained or a child starting kindergarten, or maybe they should wait till they're six and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're in such a rush, but development hasn't changed. We still need to wait for those milestones to happen. And when they don't happen, what's the reason behind that? And as parents, that's definitely our role.
Right.
I know that my youngest was reading at 2.5 and my oldest was reading at 2.5 and my youngest didn't start till the end of second grade. And I was worried. But everything else was normal and happening.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up, it was some vision therapy. And who would have thought that? You didn't know that a child, you know, that didn't need glasses might need something else. So as a parent, just watching those developmental milestones, making sure that they are happening. And
right.
If they're not, the reasoning behind that.
Well, and I had heard even the recent statistic about the need for orthodontia at such a young age, because that actually helped with speech development and things like that. I just was like kind of taken back by that. And then also the other thing that I was really captivated by was the fact that, you know, I just know for our own children, and you come back to the development piece, every child is unique. Every child is different. And just because you're seeing other families on social media and you're seeing other families talk about where their second grader is or where their fourth grader is, it may normalize that as being, ooh, that's the goal, but it's okay that your son and daughter are different. It's okay that they're not developing as quickly. It's okay that maybe they have developed more quickly than everyone else. It's what's unique to them.
Right. And I think that's part of our organization too. I know at the Personalized Learning Campus, everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has different gifts and talents. And let's hone into that, because when you graduate and you walk across that stage, you're going out into that big world where everybody's gifts are needed. So why put them in a box?
Right. Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. So how can parents strike the right balance between love and discipline and still feel secure, valued, and loved?
It's not.
And we're parents. And so it's like, how did we do that?
It's not a recipe.
Right.
It's really not. You can love unconditionally, but you can have boundaries. And I hear my mom's voice in the back of my head sometimes where she would say something like, I'd say, what time do I need to come home? And she goes, well, what time do you think you should come home? And so I'd push the envelope a little bit. I'm like, 10 o'clock. And she'd come back with the facts. Okay, at 10 o'clock, it's going to be dark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last bus that runs that gets you home by 10 o'clock. So is that the best choice?
Right.
And just challenging your child to, well, think.
Right.
If I put all the candy in the bowl, are you going to eat all of it? Or should you just have one piece and save the rest for later?
Well, I'm going to date myself, but I remember my sister always saying to my mother, well, where I was, they didn't have a phone. There's a phone everywhere. There was a phone everywhere. There's a phone at your friend's house. There was a phone there. But I remember that excuse when she'd always come home late. She'd always tell my mother, oh, I didn't have access to a telephone. I couldn't tell you where I was or didn't know what was going on. And now it's so interesting. My children will even do a GPS track on my phone and they will know, well, I knew you were here and I knew you were here and I knew you'd be here soon. And it was just like, oh my gosh, you guys are tracking me. That's hysterical.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that kind of brings to mind video games.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of students now want to play video games. And I think because it's, you're not seeing your face,
mm-hmm.
they might be hearing your voice. It's something they can master and get good at. And the feedback isn't negative coming back to them. It's something, I went through a challenge and this was exciting. And they can do it on their time. It's just a development thing.
Right.
Like, how much is too much?
Well, and to your point, when we talk about technology, it's really important for moms and dads to model good behavior themselves. When do you put your phone away, mom and dad? When do you step back from that? Is that present at the dinner table? Are you present with just interacting with your kids? That's huge. But also I've heard there are some people, some families that actually put together like a technology contract where they'll say, here are the boundaries of our household. Here's what we're all expected to do. And then hold them accountable to that.
Yeah, we have a charging station when you come in the door. The phone goes down.
Okay.
And I appreciate that when I text my boys, sometimes I won't hear back till the next day. So I don't feel like their phone is in their face. But I'm not texting them something that's urgent either. So
right.
That modeling of, yeah, that can wait.
There's free food Friday at mom's house.
Exactly.
As long as you reply by Thursday night, I will plan accordingly. No, that is true. With my three kids as well, I will put the family text out there. Two of them usually always respond. One of them never responds, which is just interesting. But I feel like the obligation as a dad is just put information out there. If it's responded to, it is. And hey, I'm doing my job on my side. So exactly. Differences that everybody has. So teens learn how to behave by watching their parents. We talked about this. So how should parents strive to be role models for their teenagers?
I think it's interesting. We were talking about mealtime. When parents have never taken their child out to a restaurant and shown them good behavior, or you're at a restaurant and some kids are running around, and I'm the first one to kind of look at the parents like, are you going to take control? Like, you're in a public place. This is the best place to model that.
Right.
In all situations, take your kids to the bank. You know, show them how to do that. What is the proper etiquette? I have to remember to always say thank you. Whether it warranted that or not, you know, what is that behavior that you were doing as parents? How do you respond to somebody who's in an emergency or urgent situation? You know, do you get your voice get higher, or do you calm down and take control of the situation? And I hope that's why my boys are as calm as they are, is because I'll put that calmness with them to show them how to do that out in society.
Right. And that's so true. It's modeling in a restaurant. It's when you're walking up and how you're addressing the hostess and how you're thanking your server, and how one of the things we always did was involve the kids in the tip. We would say, how do you think they did tonight? And what tip do you think they should get? And, you know, the bill was this much money, and reminding them as well is like, not everybody gets to go out to dinner, and look how much this cost, what we were sitting here, and do you think that gave good service, and reminding them of those types of behaviors. But you're absolutely right. The please, the thank you, the making the eye contact, and those are all great modeling opportunities for moms and dads to have with their families.
Yeah, and they don't happen in a text or an email.
And they don't. Exactly. And I remember, too, sometimes the kids would invite a friend to go to dinner with us, and I was always really surprised. There were a few friends, even at their middle school age, who had never been out to dinner before. And I know as a child, it was a very rare occasion that we'd get to go out to dinner, and it seems to be more prevalent these days. But I just was always taken back that my children would have friends that had never gone out to dinner before, and this was the first experience. So that was fun as well.
Yeah, even things just like how to set the table.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
We haven't been involved in that. And I hope those experiences came more through homeschooling because we had time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's set the table before dinner. We're all going to sit down together. Our phones are going to be put away.
That's the intentional piece right there.
Yeah. Yeah. As parents, we have to be intentional. And don't think that your child's going to learn it if you're not showing them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Doesn't just magically happen.
Doesn't.
Well, I remember going to college as well. And I remember being in the guy's dorm, and there were so many kids, so many guys who'd never washed a load of laundry before, had never ironed a shirt before, had never really been tied to, I have to get up at 7:30 in the morning kind of behavior. And it was like, are you kidding me? I just remember my mother was very strict about, no one will ever iron for you and nobody will ever do your laundry. And 11 and 12, that just was something we had to do. And that is something that we empowered our children with as well. It's just like, come on, this is your responsibility, not ours.
Yeah, we used to have magnets on the fridge and they each had a chore. And you got to pick two. Didn't matter which two.
Okay.
So if you got up first, you got to pick the two
you got the
you
good
wanted.
One. Exactly.
Because taking out the trash would count for one chore, and that was pretty easy to do. So involving that in that, I was never the mom that I'm going to do all the laundry. I just don't have time for that.
Right.
But I want to show you how to do it and take care of your stuff.
Exactly. I love that. That's really, really great. So what resources do we offer as an organization to help parents who may be struggling with their adolescents?
We have great
counseling. Not their personal adolescents, but their children's adolescents.
We have a lot of resources. I mean, we used to have pie nights and just getting parents together. I think that the co-op piece is really important, that parents are talking to each other. Like I said, I was that parking lot mom, and those people I talked to in the parking lot are teachers now in the organization. So that's exciting. We've got great counselors.
Mm-hmm.
We have parent power hours at our campus and field trip Fridays, fun Fridays, all the win time that our kids have. It's an opportunity for our parents to get together and talk, and hopefully not on social media because that's not as effective.
Right.
You know, let's get together and have a fun Friday, go to the park and mm-hmm. talk about the challenges. I mean, there's going to be challenges.
Yes, there is.
We know that. But how do we address those and how do we attack that in the best way possible while still being kind?
While still being kind, for sure. Well, Stacey, you and I have the unique privilege of being parents, and our children came through the classical academies. And you know what? We can both stand back and say this was a successful journey. They're all working. They're all paying their bills. They're all living independently. It's awesome. Yeah. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.